I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, for 2 hours a day from 9 to 11 o'clock. Today's Wednesday, the second hour of today's show. We'll get into hump day health, natural health news you can use, as we always do every Wednesday. I think it's one of the most productive, most positive segments that I do, for sure. And so if you're interested in taking control of your health, this is a great resource, I believe, as I refer you to those people who know much more than I do. I've got a really interesting clip today from our buddy, Dr. Eric Berg, about how a weed in your backyard might be more useful for your health than all of the medications in your medicine cabinet. This really is, it's quite interesting to me, and further bolsters the point that I believe, that is that God has really given us pretty much everything we need to live long, healthy, happy, productive lives, and we have decided to be corralled into this pharmacological model where we believe that only the fine scientist at Pfizer and AstraZeneca can help us maintain our health. So we'll talk about this weed in people's backyard. Also, I've got an article. I'm going to take issue with a fellow libertarian. You'll see these articles from time to time talking about how organic food is just, there's no difference here. It's just a big boondoggle to talk about organic food. Big article there from John Stossel. And we'll talk about that as well. I could probably use the whole hour to go through line by line and pick apart that thing because I think it makes a dramatic error in its logic. But we'll talk about that next hour as well. So hump day health, natural health news you can use. Quotes of the day today. H.L. Mencken said this. He said, "Government is actually the worst failure of civilized man. There has never been a really good one, and even those that are most tolerable are arbitrary, cruel, grasping, and unintelligent." And that certainly describes ours, and I don't even think our government is tolerable at this point, but it is most certainly arbitrary, cruel, grasping, and unintelligent. More about that in just a little while. And then I ran across this clip. We've heard the term cognitive dissonance many times, particularly it kind of gained some popularity during the COVID hysteria, where people just refused to accept anything except for the fear-mongering. But this is across a whole host of different areas. But cognitive dissonance, this is Franz Fanon. He said, this is cognitive dissonance explaining it. Sometimes people hold a core belief that is very strong. When they are presented with evidence that works against that belief, the new evidence cannot be accepted. It would create a feeling that is extremely uncomfortable called cognitive dissonance. And because it is so important to protect the core belief, they will rationalize, ignore, and even deny anything that doesn't fit with the core belief. And we have got an epidemic of this. I talk on my health show about other epidemics that we have affecting our health, but affecting our mental health, cognitive dissonance might be the biggest one. And it has created a really objectionable political system here in this country. And if you look across it, right now we're dealing with gun control. You can talk to somebody who wants gun control. They will point to this absolutely horrific event that just took place in Texas, but they will refuse to acknowledge the thousands and thousands and thousands of lives that are saved every single year because of Americans' abilities to own a gun. This is really kind of, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about the gun control stuff later, but this may be a really, really cold thing to say. I am somebody who is a realist. I'm a realist about COVID. I'm a realist about just about everything I believe. And I certainly believe we need to mitigate risk where we can, but we also need to keep risk in some context. And as absolutely just heartbreaking as 19 children who could be killed in a classroom would be, I did the math this morning talking to Clay out in the offices. There are about 1.5 billion student days in class in the United States. I believe there's about 150, I might have done the math slightly wrong. There's around 50 million school children here in the United States, and they go to a classroom 180 days. Is that right? Is that what the nut jobs in D.C., in order to qualify as a successful and complete academic year, you have to go for like 180 days? It doesn't matter if 60 of those days you learn nothing, or you just watch films or have play days or sit out on the quad. It doesn't matter. They've got this arbitrary day number. You know, if you miss a day for snow, you got to make it up somewhere, because we don't want to, with that one day could be the difference between having an adequate education and not. But anyway, I think it's something like 180 days, maybe it's 160 days. We got 50 million students going to school for 160 or 180 days a year. That is in the billions of class days attended. As bad as 19 lives are, and there have been other ones as well, even into the hundreds of victims there, we need to just have some level of context to know that going and sitting in a classroom is a remarkably safe activity. These very tragic, headline-grabbing events notwithstanding, I think it's time to just sit back a little bit and not terrorize our children by thinking every single day, kissing them and hugging them on the way out the door, telling them that we may never see them again because they're going to class. We project these fears on people that are really unfounded. I've done a lot of topics on this show like that. The number of children who are abducted by strangers has not changed. Even though they grab the headlines and they're horrific, we now won't let our children have normal lives like we could have several decades ago before the 24-hour news cycle, because now we're convinced that behind every corner is somebody looking to take our little child. It's just statistically not true. On the right, I hear a lot about violent crime, and certainly there are problems. Some of the cities are devolving into really pretty objectionable areas, but there are 3,100, I did the statistic a couple of days ago, 3,100 murdered people in this country by a stranger out of a nation of 330 million people. There are not people at every gas station, doesn't matter if it's Jackson or even Detroit, that are out trying to kill you just for stopping and pumping some gas. So I just think it's worth having some context. We're asked every day to make a cost-benefit analysis for every activity we do. I hope we're not out there terrorizing our children about going to school. It's a very safe place. But cognitive dissonance, those facts that I just gave you, a lot of people will shluff those off because they have a core belief that they need to be afraid for their children in school every single day. They need to be afraid as they move about society that they're going to be just randomly murdered by a stranger. Terrible things happen. That's the reality of life on planet Earth. But the cognitive dissonance comes in when you try to throw any facts at anybody. They will just absolutely ignore them. Climate hysteria is another one. I'm still clinging. I'm still looking at my story about Neptune dramatically increasing its temperature over the past few years. I think is a huge story, but I can guarantee you that the climate hysterics do not want to hear anything about that. We've seen both sides of the Trump stuff, either love him or hate him. The haters and the lovers both need to ignore a whole lot of facts that are to the contrary of what they believe so that they can stay firmly in their core belief that he's either the Antichrist or God himself. So cognitive dissonance is a big problem here in this country. The Fed's about to start something. We're going to do a little bit of economics. I'm going to play a clip from the Tired Turtle as he attempts to mislead Republicans, which is what politicians do across the board. Certainly Joe Biden will tell you basically every cause for inflation except the actual one. But the Fed is looking to do something. And I've also talked about the fact that inflation and what's been happening with our financial system, the debt-based society that we have created, is like rising water. And it has been swamping the poor, the working poor. It's been coming for the middle class, and the middle class is about up to their neck right now in what's been created in this country. And it is coming for the upper middle class and the lowly millionaire. And I've got a story today that shows you that that exact thing has been happening and will continue to happen. This is going to swamp everybody if we don't change this system. But we're going to take a look at just a little bit of economic stuff when we come back. Unfortunately, it may not be the sexiest talk radio out there, but it's important stuff. Be right back. Regardless of school shootings and even the war in Ukraine, the thing that's affecting most people right now is inflation. It has finally come home to roost. And I am bound and determined to break the cognitive dissonance of the two-party system that try to blame other factors. Now, we know, or a lot of people know, people who are able to think for themselves understand that Vladimir Putin is not responsible for the inflation that we're seeing right now. That COVID is not responsible, particularly the disease. Now, the reaction to the disease by the so-called experts did create huge problems for the economy. But it was not COVID that caused the inflation. It is money printing. And I can sit here and talk about Joe Biden and how wrong he is and how he tries to misdirect people, because we know the Democrats want to spend a bunch of money, particularly when it comes to this green revolution. The figures on that are over the next 50 years, they're going to need to spend $150 trillion in this transition over to the green new world. And so obviously the Democrats, and Joe Biden in particular, do not want you to know that printing money and huge federal spending and deficits that are paid for by printed, newly, freshly created money are responsible for inflation. That would derail their ability to get away with what they're trying to get away with. But Republicans are equally guilty of this and their cognitive dissonance of believing that this one man, it's a very interesting thing. Joe Biden is mentally incompetent, can barely get his way through a 10-minute speech, particularly without a teleprompter. He's completely incapable of his own independent thought. Yet at the same time, he single-handedly is destroying the U.S. economy. I'm not quite sure how he can be so weak and so powerful at the same time, but that is cognitive dissonance. The Federal Reserve is starting a program today called quantitative tightening. I talked about quantitative easing the other day. I would say that 95 to 99% of Americans don't understand what QE1, QE2, QE3, QE4 were, yet they were the things that are affecting your pocketbooks right now. It's a real shame people don't understand these things. Well, the Fed on June 1st is set to launch quantitative tightening. And what this means is they are attempting to withdraw some of this freshly printed money that they put into the economy over the past 12 years. Now, they attempted to do some of this back in 2018. It did not go well. The Federal Reserve, their balance sheet is where you will find when they print up a bunch of money and give it to the government to buy bonds or give it to the banks to buy mortgage bonds, they put these bonds on their balance sheet. So when you see their balance sheet, this is just basically money printed out of thin air. And they started out with, I believe, about $800 billion on their balance sheet back in 2007, 2008. It might have been $400, actually. And it quickly went to $4 trillion during the financial crisis. But the Federal Reserve told us, don't worry, we're going to put all this on our balance sheet. We're going to print up all this money. But as soon as our job is done here, we're just going to pull it right back off like nothing happened. This is just an emergency measure. It's just a one-off. We'll put this money out in the economy, then we'll pull it out, and it will keep inflation from coming. So in 2018, they started to do some of this quantitative tightening, which they're supposedly starting today. It did not go well, and they took their $4 trillion balance sheet down maybe a couple of $100 billion before the economy started to become unraveled. This is why I'm telling you, Trump's economy was not built on a solid foundation. It was based on money printing. That is not a healthy economy. So in 2018, they abandoned it. And they started printing money again, and now we find ourselves at about $9 trillion. Again, this is after the Federal Reserve told you, well, we're just going to do this once. We're going to print up a couple of $1 trillion, put it out there to respond to the financial crisis, then we're going to pull it right back out, and we'll be right back to a normal balance sheet. But they couldn't. And not only could they not shrink their balance sheet, pull some of this freshly printed money out of the economy, they had to start printing more money again. And I believe that's what's going to happen now, too. This is the first month where they say they're going to start pulling $95 billion a month out of the economy by selling U.S. treasuries or not buying new U.S. treasuries and letting their old ones roll off. But they're also supposedly not going to be buying mortgage-backed securities. This is another thing I think Americans don't understand as you celebrate and do a little jig on the housing market and how much your house has gone up. That's because the Federal Reserve has essentially been buying up all the mortgages. A bank writes a mortgage, and what it used to mean was the bank would look at you and say, hey, we've got money to lend. If we think that you're responsible and you've got an income that supports it, we'll loan you money, and over 30 years you pay us back at a set interest rate, and they would hold that mortgage. And they would be waiting for you to make these payments. That changed, I'm not sure how long ago, decades ago, where they started bundling these mortgages together and they sold them to someone else. Basically, they just wanted the origination fees and they wanted to create a bond out of your mortgage. It all gets very complicated, but the government has essentially been buying all the mortgages. So if the Federal Reserve is buying mortgages, and the banks know that they can make money by originating mortgages and then just offloading them to the Federal Reserve, what do you think the banks want to do? Well, they want to make a bunch of mortgages. Well, the Federal Reserve is saying it's actually going to unload $35 billion a month of these mortgage-backed securities now, meaning they're not going to be out there buying them, and they may even be selling them. What do you think is going to happen to the mortgage market if the Federal Reserve is not there to buy all the mortgages? The bank's not going to be quite so willing. The underwriting standards for a mortgage are going to go... They're going to get a little tougher, I would say. Now, I believe that they'll retreat on this. They'll do a 180. They will start to cause a financial crisis by undoing what the damage they've already done, and they'll give up. They'll surrender, and they'll start printing money up again. That's my theory anyway. We'll see. But nobody understands what they're doing. Nobody understands who's responsible for inflation. Joe Biden is out lying to people. The Democrats are out lying to people about what creates inflation. But unfortunately, the Republicans are also out there lying about what creates inflation. And this is the tired turtle, Mitch McConnell. This was on May 26th. He gets, you know, if you want to lay some blame at the Biden administration, I think you're within your rights, and the facts do justify that they are horrible for energy policy when it comes to the price of gas at the pump. They certainly are a net negative on energy prices. Really, these kinds of people, this leftist, and particularly the people committed to this green revolution, they are responsible for just crushing Europeans. Europeans, you see their energy cost over in Europe. I don't know how there has not been full-on revolt by the Europeans over there, but we're finding out that people in Western countries will put up with a hell of a lot. We're very, very domesticated. I think Europe suffers from the same things we do. If you'll still allow them to go see a soccer match and allow them some kind of a delivery takeout food, then they'll just sit at their homes or take their bread in circuses and not revolt. Europe's getting crushed by the ridiculous policies they have, particularly around Russia. But this was Mitch McConnell talking about inflation.
In America, inflation has topped 5% every month for the past year. The consumer price index.
Now, I'm very sorry, as you're trying to start your day and trying to gain some level of energy to get through the rest of your day, to bring the tired turtle to you. He's exhausting to listen to. The people of Kentucky have got Rand Paul and Thomas Massie, one of the greatest senators to ever serve, one of the probably top five members of the House of Representatives, and Thomas Massie throughout all time. Is serving out of Kentucky, yet they continue to send this guy back to Washington, D.C.
Continues to hover at levels our economy hasn't seen in four decades. As we head into Memorial Day weekend, the American people have become reluctant experts in its painful, real-life effects. The average working family is now spending the equivalent of $5,000 a year on gasoline. A year ago, the number was $2,800. Nationwide, gas prices have risen 46.9 cents just in the last month. And in Kentucky, they've risen actually even faster. Here's a quote from one of my constituents. I'm getting taken full advantage of, said one driver in Lexington. Another said, quote, it costs so much to fill up, I have to do half a tank at a time now. But according to President Biden, it's all part of what he calls a, quote, incredible transition. Well, that's a heck of a way to describe his administration's war on the most affordable, reliable, and abundant forms of energy in our country.
Now, I'm kind of with him up to this point. The Biden administration is absolutely terrible. They do play a part in gas prices, and gas prices do affect the cost of other things, too, but not everything. Does not explain inflation. He goes on further.
Forcing fuel prices so high that it requires Americans to transition to more expensive cars with supply chains controlled primarily by China and other hostile regimes and lower labor and environmental standards is not my idea of incredible. But pain at the pump is only one of the tangled consequences of Washington Democrats' radical policies and reckless spending.
Okay, and he loses me there. Now, this is the same Mitch McConnell who the most dangerous place in the world is between him and a microphone when it comes to handing out American taxpayer dollars. Well, excuse me, freshly printed money to Ukraine. He gave the Biden administration more than they asked for. I believe the Biden administration wanted $33 billion. Mitch McConnell and many enthusiastic Republicans, including Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Roger Wicker, all of these people wanted to give $40 billion. They can't do it fast enough, and Mitch McConnell has come out and said, we're going to give them as much as they need for as long as they need. There is no request that is too much for the United States to send money over to Ukraine. This is the same Mitch McConnell that has convinced conservatives to cheer for massive military budgets, more than the next nine nations of the world combined, over 10 times what Russia spends on its Defense Department, trillion-dollar national security budgets for years and years and years and years that we can't afford, so they have printed up money to fund the warfare state that Mitch McConnell has led. They have also printed up money. This is a Republican, and the Republicans are the ones that were responsible for Medicare Part D, the largest entitlement since Lyndon Baines Johnson back in the 1960s, done under the Bush administration and carried out by the Republicans. This was a huge, one of their first of many giveaways to Big Pharma as they transitioned older people's, the cost for medications for older people away from the older people themselves and put it onto the Treasury to pay large parts of incredibly expensive pharmaceuticals. And so Mitch McConnell is taking to this, and I am seeing this across the spectrum on conservative talk radio, the Bidenflation, just ignoring the money printing that the Republicans have demanded. During Donald Trump's term, every single year had massive federal deficits, not to mention 2020, where we printed up, I believe it was 20% of all of the money ever created was created in 2020, during Trump's final year. That was replicated in Biden's first year, showing you there is no changing of the guard. It is just a handing off of the baton when it comes to this money printing. Do not fall for this. It's one party or another. Do not think that going to the polls in the midterms, there may be 1,000 reasons to try to get the Democrats out of the seats of power in Washington, D.C. I encourage people to take the power away from Democrats, and I will be excited to see Republicans gain a majority just to stop some of the insanity for the left. But do not think for one single second that voting Republican in the midterms is going to do a single thing to address overall inflation. Inflation is because of money printing. It's not because of Joe Biden. Joe Biden wants to print a lot of money. Donald Trump wanted to print a lot of money and did. And as I said, this inflation problem is coming for everybody. The rot of this system, this facade of prosperity. I talked yesterday about the credit card statistics. what's happened since the late 1960s in terms of Americans and their revolving credit, is they just, instead of addressing inflation, instead of telling these politicians to sit down, shut up, quit spending money, we just decided to allow them to spend money, and to the inflation that it has caused, and it's always been more than 2%. They keep telling us this 2%. We all know it's 5 to 6%, even in a normal year. And instead of taking the reins back from politicians and stopping them from printing this money, we instead went out ourselves and took out credit cards to keep our standard of living up, to take the inflation. I'm telling you, this is like water moving up. It has been, if you want to know why people at the lower rungs of the ladder have been voting Democrat, you have to understand that they have been drowning in this inflation for decades right now. And the Democrats come out with a bunch of lies telling them that they're going to take care of them. They're promising that they're going to fix it. They're going to send them checks. They're going to send them money. I don't blame poor people. It's ignorant. It's ignorant, but they have been stewing in this for a while. But I think a lot of Republicans are going to understand the plight of the poor, the working poor, the working class, the blue-collar guy over the past couple of decades, because it's coming for you too. This story was out today. More than a third of Americans earning at least $250,000 annually say they are living paycheck to paycheck, underscoring how inflation is taking a bigger bite out of Americans' budgets at all ends of the pay spectrum. Some 36% of households taking in nearly four times the median U.S. salary devote nearly all of their income to household expenses, according to a new survey by industry publication Payments and Lending Club Core. It's particularly true among millennials, who are now in their mid-20s to early 40s. More than half of top earners in that generation report having little left at the end of the month. The country club types, who have looked down your nose at everybody else, did you go out and get a job? Well, these are people who have got jobs. They're making $250,000 a year. Now, I will admit there's a very high likelihood that a lot of these people are in these blue states with massive taxes, huge real estate taxes, huge housing costs, because blue states, and particularly blue cities, just destroy everything, using government to destroy. But this is coming for everybody, and I've been trying to explain this for 5 years now, that you will not be spared. People at the country club will be talking, woe is me, and probably very, very soon, if it's not already happening right now. Be right back. What's your frequency, Ken? All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I'm pretty opinionated on some things. There's no doubt about it. I'm a libertarian guy. I abhor our government. It is just in-your-face corrupt at this point, and I'm not really sure why people are supporting half of it. But there are some things, you know, issues come up, and I think what's happened in the polarization and politicization of everything in this country is a lot of people don't think for themselves, and they wait for somebody to tell them what to think about something. And there are a lot of things that I don't know what to think about. It takes some, and I do. I listen to other people, both sides of issues, and come. But there is one that is really bugging me, I got to tell you. I do not know where to stand on this thing, and I've brought it up before. My son is attending college. He got good scholarships, had good grades, good ACT score. He's now going to school in Louisiana. And he also works full-time while he's going to school for his spending money. Very proud of him for doing that. Has been doing it for years. I told my kids, when they turned about 12 and were old enough to push a lawnmower, you're not going to come to me and just sit on the couch all day and then come stick your hand out for $20 to go see a movie. If you're attempting to earn some money, I'll probably pay for every movie you go to. And you can keep your money for something that you really want. But I've taught my children to work, and they have worked. But my son was short about $3,000 per year of college that we could have easily paid cash for. But I told him to put it on student loans. Now, number one, the reason that I did this was just because student loans are interest-free money. while they're attending college. The interest does not accrue on this on these loans. And so particularly with inflation, you could basically say I'm earning about 15 to 20% on that money that I didn't put out to pay as we go, knowing that he'll get out of college with around $12,000 in student loans, which we can just stroke a check for. But I also told him, I said, I'm going to wait and see what they do on student loan forgiveness. Now, I hate our government. And there is a very real possibility. This story was out last week, and I don't know. I had this as of last week. I'm not sure exactly where it stands right now. This is from last Friday. It said, as soon as this weekend, President Biden could announce a plan to cancel $10,000 in student debt per borrower, according to WAPO. Biden could make the announcement at the University of Delaware's commencement ceremony on Saturday. The plan would apply to Americans who earned less than $150,000 in the previous year or less than $300,000 for married couples filing jointly. They also announced that they were extending the moratorium on student loan repayments through August 31st because COVID? I don't know. Now, I know what this is. This is Joe Biden and the Democrats trying to buy votes. I was shocked that they did not come out with this as a promise before the 2020 elections. As it turns out, maybe they knew that the fix was in and they didn't really need to use it. Now, if there is this election corruption, then maybe the 2022 midterms are also baked into the cake. But this feels to me, we know what this is. This is a bribe. Republicans do it too. I've done stories over the past 5 years where Republicans say, if we get reelected, we're going to, you know, cut this rate or cut that rate. They actually bribe you with your own money. It's really quite a scam. Hey, if you reelect us, we won't take as much from you as we're taking right now. This is Republicans have done this as well. But this is a big bribe offered by the Biden administration to millions and millions of kids who, because of the government in the first place and these student loans in the first place that have increased the cost of college, if there were no such things as guaranteed federal student loans, college would be cost about 10% of what it costs right now. But we are an economically illiterate country. We do not understand that. And we believe that it is everybody's path to go to college. And so making that more accessible through federal involvement is a net positive. It is not. But when they offer this student loan stuff, if they did come out and say, and my son, again, will get, he's probably teetering on around $10,000 in student loans right now through his first 3 years of school. If they were to come out and say, we're going to forgive that first $10,000 loans, I don't know whether to take it or not. And I don't know if that makes me wildly hypocritical or not. Essentially, what I'm faced with is the decision, which I think is abhorrent, that essentially our children and grandchildren, because this money does not exist. I think it's a $262 billion plan. If they decide to dump the first $10,000 of student loans, it would cost something around $250 billion. This is money that will just have to be printed up. It will leave a big hole in federal receipts that will be filled up with newly printed money, and it will create more inflation, and it will be debt on the books that our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren have to pay off. I know it's an absolute disaster. I do not want to participate in any of this, but my alternative is, do I decide to, on moral principles, to cut a $10,000 check and send it to our federal government? Am I going to take $10,000 that could be used to help my son get a home down payment somewhere to actually help him through the inflationary crisis that will continue? They're not going to beat back inflation. If they were to try to beat back inflation by raising interest rates to the levels that they should, which would have to be somewhere in the 18 to 20% range, we're going to have a depression in this country, and that $10,000 could probably come in handy for my children who are going to be going through entering the workforce during the course of the greatest depression that has ever hit the United States, or it's going to be inflation. Do I send $10,000 to the federal government out of principle and say, I'm not participating in your Ponzi scheme, in your bribe, I borrowed the money. I'm going to pay it back. When this government is just going to take that $10,000 and they're going to basically wipe their butts with it. I really am extremely conflicted on this. I want no involvement with this federal government. I want nothing from them. I want them to take nothing from me. That is the relationship that I want. Unfortunately, that is impossible in its current status. Because under Democrat and Republican control, this government has grown bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger with every single administration, whether it's Republican or Democrat, and they are in every nook and cranny of our lives at this point. I honestly do not know what I would do in a $10,000 loan forgiveness scenario. Am I not better to take that $10,000 and spend it into my local economy? Is that not more a more productive use of the money? I actually believe this federal government is going to basically fall apart at some point. It's going to become completely insolvent at some point. Now, by me sending my little $10,000 doesn't make any difference. That's one of those things. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. I'm going to wrestle with this. I don't even know if it's going to happen. Maybe they'll just dangle this, but I have a feeling that they'll probably maybe lead up into the midterms introducing some legislation, or maybe Joe Biden is just going to wave his magic pen and just through executive order do away with this $10,000 per borrower in student loans. This is why I warned people about the Trump executive orders that you called getting things done. I said, you know, empowering the presidential kingpin is not a positive thing. It doesn't matter who's, even if they're doing things that you like, you're setting more of a precedent for using that pen for more things. But this student loan forgiveness is going to create more inflation. It's the reason for inflation. These kinds of programs, these kinds of promises from government are exactly what creates the inflation that we're seeing right now. It is amazing to me that we continue to elect, continue to follow people who are chronically wrong. The Fed has been wrong on every call they've made over the last 20 years and probably long before that. But since I've been paying close attention as an economics nerd, I realize that the Federal Reserve is wrong about everything they tell you. The government has been wrong about every foreign conflict in modern times. The CDC was horrifically wrong about COVID. Ditto the American Medical Association, the State Department of Health, National Institutes of Health, the FDA. They're wrong, wronger, and wrongest. Climate scientists, wrong, 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 wrong with every single prediction, and we continue to listen to their false modeling. Continue to listen to these people that are just chronically wrong. Of course, a lot of us know that it's not just that they're wrong, it's that they're lying. They know what they're telling us is not true, but for people who can't even catch on to that, you would think that their track record of failure across the board would have us asking for something different, but we don't. Anyway, I've got some time to sit with this. If anybody has any input, you can always email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. Tell me, should I take the student loan forgiveness or should I stand on principle and write a $10,000 check to Uncle Sam? Pay off all those student loans because I took them on. Actually, my son took them on. But I'm standing good for those loans. Should we pay that money to the federal government out of principle? Being a good American, took out a loan, going to pay it back so the government can take that and send it to Ukraine, send it to Israel, wipe their butt with it, whatever they're going to do in Washington, D.C.? Or do I take that $10,000 and just say that's they're taking a little bit of their clutches off a little bit of cash? I don't know. I honestly don't know where I stand on this. We'll see. Be right back. How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. All right, we only got a couple of minutes left here in this hour, and we're going to come back with Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. A weed in your backyard may be more valuable to you than all of Big Pharma combined. A pretty interesting presentation from our buddy Dr. Berg, and we'll cover that next hour. I don't have time to get into it today, so I'll get into it tomorrow. What is the largest mass shooting in the history of the United States? The perpetrators may surprise you. Yeah, we'll do that tomorrow. I haven't talked a lot about that. I have not seen any evidence that this latest shooter was on medications. Now, there are all kinds of theories floating around about exactly what took place. I have a lot to say about the police reaction to it. We won't have time to get into it today. We'll probably get into some of that tomorrow. But this kid was certainly set up to become a psychopath, looking at his upbringing. I don't know if there are external forces on that or not, but maybe it's just his upbringing and the problems that he had that caused him to be taunted in school. But I don't think that there were adults around him that apparently cared enough to even get him on the medications. That's the sad thing, is that a lot of these medications that lead to these mass shootings are prescribed by doctors because the children were taken by parents who cared about some kind of behavioral problems, and they were somehow hoodwinked into these mind-altering drugs. And 95% of the time in these school shootings, these kids are on these drugs. I haven't seen any evidence that this kid was, but it usually takes a couple of weeks to find out they were under psychiatric care or had seen a therapist. And that's when you begin to find out exactly what they were on. So we'll be on the watch for that. I need to circle back to that last one as well and see if that was the case there. We'll be back with Hump Day Health. Stick around. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we take a break. We focus in on nutrition and helping people escape the medical system here in this country. If you do not see the need to escape the medical system that has lorded over us for the last 2 years, this is probably not the place for you. But if you are sick and tired of being sick and tired and you're not finding relief through what they call the most advanced medical system in the history of the world, then nutrition may be what you're not paying attention to. I start off every show by explaining to you I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, not a biologist, not a nurse, not a therapist, not a surgeon, not an immunologist, not a virologist. I ain't nothing. I got no certification to advise anybody on their health. I'm just bringing you information. You do with it what you will. But I am encouraging people to research for their own health, regardless of any condescension that you may get from your medical practitioner. If they are not on board with you taking an interest in your own health, you probably need to find a new doctor. You know, in light of the shooting in Texas, just the anger in our society, the fact that logic doesn't seem to matter anymore, the gender-bending stuff that's going on around this country, I am telling you right now, I firmly believe that nutrition is a big part of just about everything we're seeing. And that may sound simplistic, but our brains are organs. They need certain things they are not getting from the standard American diet. And we are nutritionally starving for the people that, you know, just eat a healthy diet or unhealthy diet of standard processed foods here in the United States. I think we're committing mass suicide, and part of that is our actual health, both physical and mental. Social media, I believe, is playing a large role in the mental health decline, too. But nutrition can change a lot of things, but I'm really here about the one-on-one change just between you and me. I want to see people take control of their health. Real quick, I wanted to read something. This was from a Time magazine article back in 2014, I believe. I tried to pull it up, and I couldn't get to the link on this thing, but it says June 23rd of 2014 in the link here. It says, it can be hard to understand why a diet heavy on refined carbs can lead to obesity and diabetes. It has to do with blood chemistry. Simple carbs like bread and corn may not look like sugar on your plate, but in your body, that's what they're converted to when digested. Quote, a bagel is no different than a bag of Skittles to your body. That was said by Dr. Darush Mazafarian, the incoming dean of nutrition science at Tufts University. I'm going to repeat that quote. Quote, a bagel is no different than a bag of Skittles to your body. This is very important for people to understand. These sugars stimulate the production of insulin, which causes fat cells to go into storage overdrive, leading to weight gain. Since fewer calories are left to fuel the body, we begin to feel hungry and the metabolism begins to slow in an effort to save energy. We eat more and gain more weight, never feeling full. Quote, hunger is the death knell of a weight loss program. This is said by Dukes Westman. Quote, a low-fat, low-calorie diet doesn't work. because as the process repeats, our cells become more resistant to insulin, which causes us to gain more weight, which only increases insulin resistance in a vicious cycle. Obesity, type 2 diabetes, high triglycerides, and low HDL can all follow, and fat intake is barely involved. All calories, it turns out, are not created equal. And this was a piece that was written in Time magazine back in 2014 in light of the 50-year experiment where they told us to go low fat and to put whole grains in place of those things. And everybody in the 1990s loaded up on Snackwell's cookies because they said they were no fat or low fat. Instead, they were just grains and sugar, and we've set ourselves on this course of just really horrific obesity. I've been looking at some stuff by Dr. Sean Baker. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him after this, but this is almost like a quote of the day. He's 55, I believe. He is an orthopedic surgeon, maybe in Texas. I can't remember exactly where. But he did a presentation, and I'll talk to you a little bit about one of the ways of eating that he recommends as an orthopedic surgeon. But at the end of this presentation, I ran across this where he commented, again, this is an MD, a long-tenured MD, explaining what the medical system in this country is.
Do some fasting. You can expose yourself to hot or cold. All of those things are very powerful hormetic stressors. So you, like I said, you don't have to inhale the tailpipe exhaust to get your hormetic effect. And I'm not necessarily...
All right, I started a little early on this. That's something else in this presentation. You can get the link if you want to email me, but anyway.
Comparing broccoli to tailpipes, but, you know, the comparison holds up. All right, this is a different topic here.
This
is the and more stuff. And I think we have a healthcare system, which in my view is actually sick. I think the healthcare system itself is sick, and I don't know that it's fixable, quite honestly. And so I've come recently to call the healthcare system the disease management.
You know, I want to point that out. He says it's not fixable. It's not fixable. The money and interest in our healthcare system right now are intractable. They will never voluntarily give up their power, their status, their money in this medical system. But that doesn't mean it's not fixable for you. You can make the decision at any point in your life. If you didn't do it on January 1st with your New Year's resolutions and you didn't do it in the second quarter because you just didn't get around to it, then you can start today. You can fix your own healthcare system. The healthcare system itself, it is so corrupt at this point, led by corrupt organizations all the way from the CDC to the FDA to the American Medical Association. It's beyond saving. They will never relinquish that money or power that they have gotten from the sickness of Americans. But you can fix your health.
Industry, because that's really what we're doing. I mean, all we're doing is putting bandage. When I was replacing people's knees and shoulders and hips, I mean, literally I'm putting a high dollar Band-Aid on somebody. You know, and I used to think I would replace someone's knee and then, you know, they'd be happy, oh, Dr. Baker, my knee felt better. And then a year later, they come back for their other knee. And I felt good because... hey, they want me to fix their other knee too. But really, I should have been, what could I have done to prevent that person from needing a knee replacement in the first place? And if we do that the way we should, we would see that $3.7 trillion a year we spend on healthcare go down tremendously. And I think that's what we need to do. You know, so the disease management industry is heavily dependent on pharmacy procedures and increasingly more and more expensive technology. And we're all excited about this technology, but guess what? The more technology we have, the more sick people we have. The more tests we can do, the more, you know, our grandparents didn't have all these tests and they were healthier than we were. And so why with all these tests, all this technology, are we still just as sick as we ever were or even more? And it's really a top-down type of thing. And we have lots and lots of repeated customers, but they're not particularly happy. And so I like to talk about the health creation business. That's what I'm trying to do. And other people out here, this whole thing, I think, is about that. So it's lifestyle, it's nutrition, it's exercise, sleep, stress, light. We've heard all this before, and it doesn't change. The basics are the basics. It can be very inexpensive. The problem is there's not a lot of profit in that. But it tends to be bottom up. It's people that are frustrated. We're tired of going to the doctor and having our pills shuffled around. You know, let's try this one, let's try this drug. And what we see is, instead of lots of unhappy customers, I see people who are now passionate, some people call them zealots, but passionate advocates for a way of life, and they want to share their experience, and they want to use that to help other people, and I think that's a wonderful thing. You know, what we have also in the disease management industry, and I look at this, we have literally an army of paramedical personnel. We've got lab techs, radiology techs, nursing assistants, pharmacy techs, scrub techs, pathology, and the list goes on and on and on. You know, and it's a massive physical infrastructure. I mean, these hospital systems, they cost hundreds of millions of dollars to build these things. And what we're doing here online, digitally, we've got armies of part-time trained, motivated, everyday people, and it's a cell phone. I mean, you think about the cost savings and what you can do with something like, you know, what MeterX and some of these other things that are out there, Sapien Movement and what Eric's doing. This is, I think, the way forward. I think this is the way we have to do that. And so that's where I'm excited about. And this is where, you know, whatever the next couple of decades I spend in quote-unquote helping people is going to be.
Yeah, and he's exactly right. I can't imagine the amount of money we would spend if we were just, you could, with a cell phone, with a toll-free number, by following some decent natural health or nutritional advice online, we could just save ourselves trillions of dollars a year and be healthier along the way. That's Dr. Sean Baker. You can look him up. He's got a ton of stuff online. He's interesting. He is a proponent of the carnivore diet. Now, if you've heard of this thing, you know, we've talked a lot on here about keto, which is eating high fat, low carb diet. I think it's a great way to lose weight. It makes me feel good. It does not make everybody feel good. It's one of those things you almost have to experiment with. I think it's very easy to implement once you cut a lot of carbs and sugars out of your diet, when you replace them with healthy fats, a lot of healthy fats, your cravings for those things go away. But what Sean Baker, Dr. Sean Baker, is doing is the carnivore diet, and this is animal products and meat only. It is a zero carb diet. It is all just about eating meat, butter. You can have milk, anything that is an animal product, no vegetables whatsoever. Now, this seems weird, but I've done some research on it, and it is the next thing I want to try to give a whirl. A lot of people are reporting that they have reversed autoimmune diseases based on the carnivore diet. That people have, different people, and this is the thing that's tricky about natural health stuff, different people have different reactions to different vegetables. I saw an interesting presentation about the fact that every plant has a defense mechanism in it. And that with some animals cannot eat, you know, certain plants because the plant wants to perpetuate its species, and so it has built into it things that cause inflammation and sickness in animals, so the animals don't eat these plants. And some people have got reactions to even some plants. I am not saying for a second here, don't eat any more fruits or vegetables. I am just interested in the carnivore diet and how it makes me feel. To be honest with you, there's a huge obstacle to taking on the carnivore diet, and I just want to try it for 30 days, see what I think. Dr. Ken Berry, that I've played clips on here, he's a Tennessee doctor. He tried it for a month and liked it so much. The last interview I saw with him, he had gone 8 or 9 months. Now, he credits his Northern European heritage as why it worked for him. I won't get into the details of that, but he said for his wife, whose heritage was equatorial, where they probably ate, historically, the ancestors probably ate more plants than fatty, you know, fish and animals that they might have eaten in Northern Europe. Carnivore diet did not work for her. She didn't feel good on it. So it's all trial and error stuff. I'm just kind of fascinated by trying all of these different things. Here's the problem with carnivore diet. Let me see how I say this without... without being repulsive. There is some gastrointestinal distress apparently involved in the moving your body from eating fiber, which we get out of fruits and vegetables, into just a plant, an animal-based diet. And I've seen anything from 3 days to 2 weeks of, how do I put it? You don't want to be too far away from home base while you're doing this. And so this is a challenge to anybody who's busy, who's constantly kind of on the move like I am. But I'm also looking for ways to create more lean muscle. I would say I don't eat a lot, particularly when I do keto stuff. Whenever I'm eating high fat, I don't eat a whole lot of calories, and it's been difficult for me to pack on some of the muscle that I'd like to pack on. I work out a lot. I'd like to see better benefits, and I think carnivore diet might help me because of the increased protein and some other aspects to it. So it's interesting. You can explore it and take a look at it yourself. This is my hobby. I try fasting. I try keto. I've gone for a month just as a challenge with absolutely no added sugar. I've done all kinds of different things just to see how they make me feel. Carnivore is on my list if I can just conquer this one barrier to entry, which is an upset tummy for a period of time. I'm looking for ways to mitigate that. So anyway, if you're interested, you can check out the carnivore diet. You'll see a lot of testimonials from a lot of people that say it helped them reverse years and years and years of things like autoimmune conditions. So it may be, and there's some, I saw one researcher say that because you can only eat so much meat and protein, you actually reduce your calories, and it almost mimics to some degree fasting because you're not that hungry. When you're eating a lot of fatty meats and proteins, you go a long time between meals because you're satiated, and there may be some fasting benefits to that, cleaning up your system. But I'll keep you posted. If I can figure out a way to overcome this one hurdle, I may give it a whirl. Here I am. Now, whether or not you are considering the carnivore diet, most people are meat eaters to some degree, and I would be derelict in my duty if I did not point out the fact that what kinds of meat you eat are as important as if you eat meat or not. And we have got a new sponsor on this show that I'm just absolutely thrilled with, and that is Stonington Farms. They do grass-fed, grass-finished beef. You'll hear their commercials airing on this station. There are no hormones, no antibiotics used with this cattle. They graze on good, clean grass, and then they are brought to your table. I saw a great presentation. I'm going to have Dr. Michael Stonington on at some point to talk about his farm and, you know, why they do the things the way they do them. But I saw a presentation yesterday talking about the difference in the nutritional profile of grass-fed, grass-finished beef, and it is impressive. This is healthier meat. And this is why I've been talking to them. I got to know Michael, not just as an advertiser, a couple of years ago, but I'd always told him I'd love to have you on the station because I'd really like to point people towards a good quality product when it comes to nutrition. They sell bulk orders. They deliver free to Central Mississippi now. They're trying to open up this market. You can visit them at stoningtonfarm.com. That's S-T-O-N-N-I-N-G-T-O-N, stoningtonfarm.com. singular.com. They have some good acreage down in South Mississippi where they raise these grass-fed, grass-finished beef. This is just a better nutritional product for you and for your family. And when you buy in bulk, if you're trying to mitigate the cost of inflation, buy in bulk from these people. Get together with a neighbor if you want to, or get together with your children, your family, and everybody share a half a cow. And load up your freezer with good quality meat. Again, find them on stoningtonfarm.com. Had several listeners already contact me and say that they have ordered from them. I encourage you to let me know as well and let them know you heard about it on WYAB. We may be their only advertising outlet in Central Mississippi, so if you contact them, they may know you came from us. But, man, I am all behind anything that is better for your health. I'll have to do a whole show when I have Dr. Stonington on. We'll talk about these CAFO operations, these giant mega farms where they raise all this cattle that you find on your grocery store shelves, and they are loaded up with hormones and antibiotics, and these cows are not healthy, and the grains that they feed them are GMO products, and the food is just not as healthy. This is a way to start reclaiming your health. When you eat meat, eat a good quality meat, stoningtonfarm.com. I'm going to get to this article. I'm going to really disagree with a libertarian who has weighed in on a nutritional issue when he talks about organic foods. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But I wanted to go through one story because this is near and dear to my heart. The whole reason, I've told this story many times, sorry to be repetitive, but I first started studying nutrition when I had a four-year-old daughter and I heard that little girls were going into puberty as young as six or seven. And I said to myself, self, that ain't right. What do I need to do to make sure that my daughter does not prematurely age? Well, there's a story that came out just this past week. It was in the Daily Mail in the UK. American girls are now reaching puberty as young as six in a phenomenon scientists think may be linked to childhood obesity, chemicals in plastic, and stress. I'm going to get into a little bit of this story. this story, because there is a consequence to our little girls going into puberty too young. And for the black community, this problem is even worse for you guys. Young girls in America are experiencing puberty at an earlier age than biologists would particularly expect, with the average age falling to 10, with black girls undergoing the process a year earlier than their peers on average, experts warn. Phenomenon was first detected by Dr. Marsha Herman Giddens, a public health expert at the University of North Carolina, when she began to gather data on more than 17,000 girls in the mid-1990s. She found that the average age of puberty was dropping, falling to 10 years old, with some girls developing as early as age 6. While there's no concrete reasons to explain what is happening, experts tell the New York Times they believe it has been caused by a combination of increasing obesity rates, the prevalence of chemicals used in plastic, and the stress they are feeling in everyday life. Experts also warn that girls that undergo these early puberties are at an increased risk of developing multiple types of cancer and suffer from mental health issues like depression or anxiety. Giddens, who at the time was serving as director of child abuse team at Duke University, also in North Carolina, noticed that many of these children had been abused were developing breasts as young as 6 or 7 years old. Young girls usually go into puberty in their early teens, with those that start showing signs of the development around age 10 being considered early. And so she started getting data. Black girls in particular are developing early, with an average age of puberty being found to be 9 years old, according to recent studies. Early puberty can come with serious risks as well. They are more likely to suffer breast cancer or uterine cancer later in life, other studies have found. Rates of depression, anxiety, and other potential mental health issues are higher in girls who undergo an early puberty as well. I go through some of the causes. If you want to study this, you can email me, MikeMadison@WIEB.com. I'll send you my show notes for any of these topics we covered today. But they go through some of the what they believe the culprits are. And the first is obesity, a growing problem in the U.S. that has had devastating consequences for people of all ages. Multiple studies have linked early life obesity to an early puberty. And so this is one of these things where not only got our kids unhealthy as far as their weight goes, but it is causing a cascade of other consequences, early puberty being one of these things. Another is phthalates that are used in many plastics to make them more durable. They believe that these can be endocrine disruptors. They disrupt the reproductive system of animals, and they are studying the impacts on humans as well. I've never been more proud of myself than taking the reins of my children's nutrition. It's a shame that I waited till they were age 4. If you've got younger children, now is the time to spare your daughters and your sons, but your daughters, early puberty, which has a whole host of risks from cancer to depression to anxiety, all kinds of different problems that these kids are seeing. We are not doing our kids a service by feeding them the standard American diet, fattening them up and setting them up to fail when it comes to health. So this problem is continuing. Again, we're not going to fix it. We're not going to get all the plastics out of things. We're not going to stop the standard American diet. We're not going to stop the medical system because it's all too profitable. But you can step in the gap and save your children from this kind of stuff. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I'm going to get to this clip in a few minutes, how to replace the title of this with number one backyard weed that can replace all your medications. Now, I'm not telling anybody to jump off medications and go out in your backyard and pick something, but I'm just telling you, we are ignoring a whole lot of beneficial plants in favor of Big Pharma, and it is not doing us any favors. I wanted to get to this piece, and boy, I got to judge my time so I can play this weed clip, and it's not marijuana. Don't worry, it's not about marijuana. There was a piece put out by John Stossel. He's a libertarian guy. You've probably seen him on ABC News. Mustache guy, John Stossel. Look him up. But I ran across this story on Town Hall. This was from May 11th. Organic BS. And you'll see these kinds of stories pop up all the time. People sent me some things about intermittent fasting being debunked. I probably need to go through some of these things, too, because, you know, I'm not telling you that I have can unlock the key to everybody's health with, you know, just fasting or just this or just that. But these stories, I'll kind of show you how they missed the mark. I'll put it that way. I have big problems with this piece by John Stossel. I'm going to read a little bit from it. Activists have convinced Americans that, quote, organic, unquote, food is better, healthier, and better tasting, life extending. As a result, poor parents feel guilty if they can't afford to pay $7 for organic eggs. This misinformation is spread by people like Alexis Baden Mayer, political director of the Organic Consumers Union. She says organic food is clearly better, quote, the nutrition is a huge difference. John Stossel says, but it isn't. Studies find little difference. Now, first of all, I'm going to make a distinction here. When I talk about GMO foods and I talk about organic foods, my main impetus is trying to avoid the chemicals that are sprayed on genetically modified foods. There is a lot of evidence, and this piece does not deal with this in any way, shape, or form. So there's a difference between talking about the nutritional benefits of an organic tomato versus a regular tomato. What I believe makes more difference in the nutritional benefit of a tomato, or name any vegetable, any fruit, organic or otherwise, is the soil that it's grown in. And there's a lot of studies out there. As a matter of fact, I watched a presentation yesterday about a group that is doing exactly that. They're going around and they're going to different farms. I think it might have been 170 different farms. They're collecting samples of foods. They're comparing them to the soil they're grown in and finding the difference in the nutritional profiles of it. You can understand that the minerals that are in your food are a direct relationship to the minerals that were in the soil it was grown in, because that's where the plants get the minerals. It's not spontaneous mineralization. And so there is a difference in some of these things, but some organic crops may be grown in the same kinds of soil as non-organic crops. My point is, I don't want my food sprayed with something that interferes with my gut bacteria, with some herbicide that kills some of our good gut bacteria. So this focuses on the nutrition, and it does depend on where something is grown. There are different nutritional profiles, but that's not my big problem with GMOs. It's the chemicals, and they do not address it anywhere in this article. John Stossel goes on to say, if you still want to pay more for what's called organic, that's your right. But what's outrageous is that this group of scientifically illiterate people convinced the government to force all of us to pay more. Congress has ruled that GMOs, genetically modified food, must be labeled. Busybodies from both parties supported the idea. Now, let me explain to you, I'm a libertarian. I don't think the government should be forcing any food manufacturer whatsoever to label their food with GMO labels. I think consumers should demand it. And I think that the free market, if people get wise to the idea, if you are like me and you don't want to ingest a bunch of herbicides, then I go and look at to find products that have got something on the label that says, you know, non-GMO, meaning we didn't spray this with a bunch of herbicides and chemical crap. The free market will fix that. I'm not for the government forcing these labels, but I also, okay, he goes on to say, politicians like Representative Jim McGovern from Massachusetts, Democrat, says it doesn't cost any more. The idea that this will raise food prices is ridiculous. John Stossel says it's McGovern who's ridiculous. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says the GMO labeling will cost from $598 million to $3.5 billion. Now, I got to tell you, I find that really incredibly hard to believe. Packaging on food is constantly changing. Every time there's a new Disney movie out, most fast food change their labels to have some Disney character on the dang things. The idea that somehow putting a GMO qualifier on there is somehow off the table because it's just so expensive. You're forcing these companies to have this. I don't believe that for a second. But again, I don't think the government should be forcing them to do it. Consumers should be smart enough to say, I want to know what's in my food. And the companies that put a label that tell me what's in my food are the ones that I'm going to buy their products. The mystery products, I'm staying away from them. The free market would fix this. They go down into a lot of different things. Let me see. He brings up the point of golden rice. This is a genetically modified product as well. They say that it adds more vitamin A, and in certain parts of the world, blindness, lack of vitamin A in diets is causing some blindness. Now, I have not really researched this. This may be the case. They may be right. There is a possibility with all of these sciences, with GMOs, with everything else, there's always the possibility to do something great. The problem is these things are developed by huge chemical manufacturers like Monsanto, which is now, what, Bayer. And what they do is they create something, but then they throw a little something in it that says, well, you have to spray this just with our spray. It's resistant to our spray, and these seeds don't keep year to year. It's a self-destructing seed. You have to buy your seeds from us every year. So there may be some legitimacy to the fact that these things have got vitamin A in it. That's fantastic. But there's a whole bunch of other nastiness that goes around genetically modified stuff. This is from the John Stossel piece. At least educated skeptics now understand that they were wrong about GMOs. The New York Times points out that many, quote, quietly walked back their opposition to GMOs. The science is clear, says a former opponent in the Wall Street Journal. They're perfectly safe. And they go on through all of these things. Now, they get into this. This woman with the Organic Consumers Union says that GMOs cause cancer. He says, this is John Stossel says, we're using more GMOs than ever. There's less cancer now. Lifespans keep increasing. He says we live about 25 years longer than Americans did 100 years ago. Even compared to 10 or 20 years ago, we live longer. Well, there's a couple of problems with that. Number one, the greatest benefit to life expectancy has been hygiene and refrigeration. It has nothing to do with genetically modified foods. The other thing is that now, if you are in a catastrophic wreck, where I do tout our medical system is they can put together a broken body like never before. A lot of deadly injuries from years ago are no longer deadly. A lot of children born extremely prematurely now can be brought to full growth. Small babies weighing 1 ounce now can be brought into a healthy life with modern medicine. And particularly just technologies. Those things are wonderful. That has increased our life expectancy. To say that the technology that's around GMO foods is what's making us live longer, I think is patently absurd. And the bottom line is, we are exposing ourselves to a chemical cocktail. Now, some cancers are on the rise and some are down. And I've seen a lot of things that say that the survivability of some cancers the life expectancy of someone getting cancer is longer than it used to be. And that's absolutely true, I believe, in a lot of cancers. Many cancer rates are still on the rise. But the life expectancy of someone who gets cancer through things like chemo and other technologies to keep you alive a little bit longer certainly exists, but it's not a quality of life you really want. It's not returning you back to health and setting you on your way. These are people who are brought along through chemical cocktails that really destroy their quality of life to get them a little bit more time. Avoiding cancers in the first place is the problem. I would like to probably spend a little bit more time with this. He says, but no amount of science will convince people like Baden Mayer. Quote, the GME issue has not been investigated enough, she said. John Stossel says, organic promoters are wrong on the cost and wrong on the science. Sadly, they've won the battle of public opinion. This thing does not talk for a second about the fact of glyphosate being sprayed on all of your food, being ground up into all of the soy products that you're eating, and the problems that that has, particularly with gut bacteria. And once you destroy your gut, it manifests itself in a whole host of other health problems. It's not the nutrition of the GMOs. To be honest with you, I know very little about the nutritional profile of a genetically created a soybean versus a natural soybean. But what I do know is I don't want my soybeans, if they're in anything, and I try to stay away from soy because it's an estrogen mimicker. I kind of am fond of my flat chest. I'm avoiding the moobs, and I don't really want to lose much testosterone. But I don't know the nutritional difference between this soy, but I do know that the soy that is GMO is just coated along with wheat now that is desiccated, dried out, using glyphosate. I do not want those chemicals in my system. There's no benefit to those. There's no health benefit to these chemicals. I avoid these chemicals and GMOs for that reason, not for the nutritional profile. I'll be right back. All over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling. All right, final segment here. Before I go, though, let me tell you, if you do need to interact with the medical system, if you got health issues, particularly if you got pain, things like that, and you want to stop somewhere where someone will look at your entire situation, not just try to tamp down symptoms with another pharmaceutical, you need to check out Integrative Medical and Wellness Clinic in Ridgeland. This is a one-of-a-kind treatment center focused on increasing your quality of life. Their approach is based on the latest therapies and science in integrative medicine that is looking at the body from the inside out, helping you fix the root cause of your problems so the problem actually goes away. You're not entering lifetime treatment for a particular symptoms while other things continue to break down. This is Integrative Medical and Wellness Clinic. They're over on Draperton Drive, right over there by the Costco in Ridgeland. You can find them at imawc.com, imawc.com, or 601-843-6195. Integrative Medical and Wellness Clinic. If you need medical consultation, this should be your first stop, bar none. All right, I'm going to get to Dr. Berg here. A weed in your backyard may be better than all the pharmaceuticals in your medicine cabinet.
I'm back again to talk about the number one backyard weed that has the potential to replace all of your medications. And that's pretty cool. But of course, check with your doctor before taking any of this advice, okay? This is just food for thought for you to do your own research. But this is a very, very powerful pesky herb growing in your backyard right now that can greatly benefit you, even if you're not on medications. And no, it's not marijuana. Okay. The first benefit is it can act as a potent diuretic. Okay. That means it gets rid of fluid retention, edema in your ankles and your feet. It can help you get rid of that. Now, that is going to help you reduce blood pressure. Okay. Now, there's another effect on blood pressure. It's loaded with potassium. You have to realize that when someone is deficient in potassium, their blood pressure naturally goes up, okay? Because potassium is a physiological relaxer of the vascular system. And when you don't have enough potassium, you have all sorts of issues with the heart, including blood pressure. So this weed is loaded with potassium and many other minerals, especially like magnesium. Next benefit is it can help reduce insulin resistance, which is behind, I would say, 70, 75% of health problems out there. And that means it can get rid of the fat off your liver. It means that you can help stabilize your blood sugars. It can help your blood pressure from a different angle because too much insulin from insulin resistance makes your arteries stiff and hardened. Also, having too much insulin can create boils on the back of your knee. So if you have boils or a Baker's cyst, you can say goodbye to them if you consume this weed. Now, the other interesting and surprising benefit of this weed is it has the potential to reduce the reproduction of a virus, HIV virus. Okay, so it slows down the reproduction of that virus. This weed can also prevent fibrosis in your liver. So if you have a fatty liver, if you have an inflamed liver that's heading towards cirrhosis, which is scar tissue, consuming this weed can slow down that process. All right, the next benefit, and I'm going to explain what 5-alpha reductase inhibitor is, but this weed can help reduce this right here, which then can reduce DHT, thereby helping you with preventing hair loss like alopecia, as well as shrink an enlarged prostate. Okay. Now, if a female has too much DHT, she could have facial hair. She could also have hair loss. So it could work in men and women. This weed, and I'm going to reveal that very soon, also acts as an aromatase inhibitor. Now, what is that? That's another blocker of an enzyme that helps lower excessive amount of estrogen. So if you're a male that has man boobs or you're losing hair on your lower legs or your voice is going higher or whatever, it can help regulate that. It also works in women that have too much estrogen dominance. So it helps regulate estrogen. And this weed can help stimulate bile, which can then help with bloating, preventing gallstones, helping with constipation, and a lot more digestive issues. Okay, now, what is this herb? Dandelion greens, okay? Not just the greens, the whole dandelion. You can eat the roots. You can roast them and make coffee out of it, an alternative type of coffee, which is actually tastes very similar to coffee. The greens, which are very bitter, you put some of those in your salad. You want to probably offset these bitter greens with other types of leaves because it's very, very bitter. And it's kind of tough, but it's very therapeutic to include in your daily salads. And you can eat the little flowers, the yellow flowers, and you can put those in your salad or make a tea out of it. I'll put some recipes down below. What's interesting about this weed that everyone's trying to kill is that it's designed to survive all sorts of conditions. And because of that, it's created very powerful natural chemical compounds that you can use for your own health. In fact, that weed is way healthier than probably most of the vegetables that you're consuming. And also, its roots can go way, way down into the earth, you know, like 20, 25, 30 feet, and grab these minerals and pull them up. So if the superficial topsoil doesn't have the minerals, it'll go down and pull the minerals up there. So when you're consuming dandelion greens, you're getting a lot more nutrition than most vegetables that don't dig their roots that deep.
All right. He goes on to a little bit more other ways to use it. Been used for thousands of years. Dandelions in your backyard. Now, if you're spraying those down with a ton of chemicals on your yard, I wouldn't suggest ingesting them. But wouldn't that be something if doctors found out dandelions were more important than them?
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how.